Two scripture readings this morning. We turn first to Matthew chapter 1, and then after we've read those verses, we'll turn to Philippians chapter 3. So Matthew chapter 1, reading verses 18 through 25. Matthew 1, verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when, as his mother Mary was espoused or engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And then we turn to Philippians chapter 3. And here we'll read the first 14 verses. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision or the mutilation. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinks that he has whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of or faith in Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend or grab a hold of that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Based on these two passages of the Word of God and many others, the Church of the Reformation has summarized in Lord's Day 11, page 39, what it means to call the only Savior Jesus. Since this evening we will be having baptism service, I thought rather than skip the catechism again, we will simply cover it this morning. Lord's Day 11. Why is the Son of God called Jesus, that is, a Savior? Because he saves us and delivers us from our sins. And likewise, because we ought not to seek, neither can find, salvation in any other. Do such then believe in Jesus, the only Savior, who seek their salvation and welfare of saints, of themselves, or anywhere else? They do not. For though they boast of him in words, yet in deeds they deny Jesus, the only deliverer and Savior. For one of these two things must be true, that either Jesus is not a complete Savior, or that they who by a true faith receive this Savior must find all things in him necessary to their salvation. Several things by way of announcements and prayer requests. You've noted in the bulletin that I'm sure that Stina Fader has passed away this last Friday, and the funeral service will be on Wednesday at 10 o'clock here in the church, Wednesday at 10 o'clock. In light of that, Bible study will also be pushed off for one more week, so Bible study will not be this week, but next week. Let us pray. Gracious and faithful God, we think of the words of the psalmist, in life, in death, my heart will seek thy face. In death, certainly, for then we all realize how helpless we are, how powerless, how fragile, how life swiftly passes on, and we've been reminded of that in a graphic way as a church family, especially the Fader family circle. Lord, in death we seek thy face, and in life too. For where else can we, who are still the living, find comfort and help and strength and everything that we need, if not in thee, in thy face? That is, in face-to-face connection with thee, in living fellowship through thy word and spirit, in meeting with thee, and being strengthened and satisfied. We have sung, O my soul, why art thou grieving? What disquiets and dismays? And many of us have come to church this morning, either grieving or dismayed by something. So often the story of our life in this world. Grieving over sin and over suffering and over trial and over death. Well, whatever it is, we look to thee. We say to ourselves, O my soul, why art thou grieving? I shall yet my Savior praise. At thy sacred altar bending, God, my boundless joy. O Lord, we confess that joy in thee is boundless joy, that is, without boundaries or measure, that no matter what, it cannot be taken away, that it is possible to rejoice in the Lord, even in the middle of tears, and even when our hearts are overwhelmed and breaking. And we pray, help us to do that. Help us to find in thy praise and in thy joy our strength, our shelter, our refuge, our food, our drink, our everything. We pray, especially for the Fader family circle, Lord, draw near to them. And there will be a funeral service. There will be a golden chance for thy word to go forth to the whole family circle, and also this evening. And we ask, Lord, that that may be richly blessed, that it may bear powerful fruit, that it may make a striking and lasting impact, especially on those who now do not know thee or who wander far from thee. Lord, use it. Use thy word to soften hearts for the gospel of Jesus Christ, the only Savior. We pray for all the other special needs in our congregation. There's so many people who are waiting right now for medical treatments or consultation or advice, whether it be Suvin Ray or Jenny Lewenberg, Lord, strengthen them to wait. And sometimes this waiting can be dismaying and disquieting, to use again the words of the Psalter. Lord, help them to praise thee as they wait, and waiting on the Lord to renew their strength and to mount up with wings like eagles and to run and not grow weary and not faint. We pray the same for Rick Munz as he has to rest and let his back heal. We pray, Lord, that his back may heal and that it may go swiftly and may go well. We thank thee for blessings of recovering from surgery from Johan Vermanen, that thy hands have guided the physician and that it was a successful surgery. We rejoice together with Mr. Tolton and Mrs. Buss as they anticipate a birthday in this coming week. It has pleased Thee to give them another year of life, Lord. And we thank and praise Thee for preserving them for us and for their family circles. There are other cares and needs that perhaps haven't been mentioned yet, but that are just as real and just as pressing and just as overwhelming. Lord, build up, gather, defend, and preserve to Thyself, Thy church this day, here too. That the name of Jesus Christ may be glorified, that only name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved. We pray that salvation may be the fruit of the preaching of the Word of God this day, also here, that the power and glory of the world to come may invade this sanctuary and do what no pastor can do. Lord, we confess our powerlessness and our helplessness, that no pastor can change a single heart. No pastor, however true and right the words are that are spoken, can give faith or a renewed heart, can give comfort, can give strength. We confess our powerlessness before Thee, but we cast our hope on Thy faithfulness to Thy own word. It has been promised that Thy word will not return void or empty, that it will bear fruit, that it will do its work. Lord, let it do its work this day. Let it pierce and convict and convince of sin. Let it convince and draw to Christ Jesus, that He may be magnetic, that He may be glorified, that our hearts may go out to Him and connect with Him. We come to confess our sins and our failures, Lord. So often we can be unbelieving and we can become so pessimistic and despairing, and that's a sin against Thy goodness and Thy love and Thy faithfulness. For we have no reason so to do, and yet we confess that in our sin we too often do so. Forgive us, Lord, for every complaining word, which is an attack on Thy providence. Forgive us for our doubts and our fears, and yet we come to Thee, the God who is mindful of our human frailty and who remembers and knows who we are, and who has provided a great shepherd of the sheep to deal with our sins and to redeem us from ourselves. How we need that. Forgive us our pride, Lord, our anger, our bitterness, our lust, our greed, our harsh words, our superficiality, the way in which we can so easily judgmentally assume things about other people without bothering to check the facts. Cleanse us from all our sin. Make us pure within. And we pray that the songs of Thy salvation may fill our hearts as we realize that when I confess transgression, then Thou forgavest me. So let the godly seek Thee in times when Thou art near. And Lord, we pray that those whose sins have not been forgiven may realize that Thou art near, and may realize now is the time to seek Thee and to find forgiveness. We pray, thanking Thee for Thy faithfulness. This week has brought with it sorrows and uncertainties, but this week has also brought with it faithfulness and care. Thy promises have been kept. Thy truth has triumphed. Thy name has been glorified in Thy gifts and Thy works. We want to praise Thee, Lord, for being God the Creator, for the world around us showing the hand of a master engineer and craftsman, a designer and a powerful upholder. We praise Thee for the order and the beauty of Thy creation. We tremble at Thy holiness and the wrath of God, which is revealed in Thy creation as well as the curse plagues this world and makes us realize that the wages of sin are death. We tremble at Thy holiness. Lord, strike us with it, that we may see Thee in Thy character, that Thy righteous, pure, zealous hatred of sin may make us fearful in the good way, the fear of the Lord that draws us near to Thee, that is saving, that is a blessing, in which there is great refuge and comfort. We pray for the fruit of Thy Holy Spirit to be upon us, for every evidence of spiritual life to flourish among us, for this nation in which we live with its sin. We think of the young person who was arrested for standing with his choice chain sign in the last few days in Calgary. Lord, we pray that this may do the opposite of what that policeman intended, that it may draw increased attention to the horrors of abortion and raise up others of our young people who are willing to take a stand and pay the price for glorifying Thee and speaking for the vulnerable and the unborn in our society. Lord, break the arms and teeth of the ungodly and their power by which they seek to silence those who would speak Thy word. We pray that Thy kingdom may come, that Thy name may be praised and honored in this nation. Give us leaders, Lord, who do not govern by polls, who are not fearful and cowardly, but who are bold and faithful and steadfast and godly people of integrity. And bless those Christians who work in politics or in parliament. Help them not to water down or dilute their message, but to be steadfast. We pray that the ends of the earth may serve Christ and may know Him, and that the name above all names may be treasured everywhere. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. After the preaching of the Word of God, we sing Psalter 249. Beloved congregation of the Lord, what's in a name? Everything and everyone has one. You can't even talk without using names. Just try it sometime and see. But what's in a name? Because we use names every day, after a while we start to forget what lies behind them. A name quickly becomes just a label. It allows you to distinguish one thing from another. And often the names of people are just labels as well. No more meaningful than calling them M473. People often today pick a name for their children based on names in the family or imitating sports and movie stars. If you look in the names of the city records of birth certificates or provincial records, you can make a pretty good guess about who's famous in that time period or those years. Things are, of course, a little different among us. We pick our names of our children based on relatives or names in the Bible as a confession of faith, as the expression of our deepest desires and longings for our children. But now let's put 10 Johns together in a room. And you will have 10 different people and 10 different characters. So what's in a name? Is it just a label? You don't get that idea if you listen to some of the Christian poetry that's been written about the name of Jesus. Jesus, Thy name I love, all other names above. There is a name I love to sing. I love to tell its worth. It sounds like music in my ears, the sweetest name on earth. You don't get that idea when you read our catechism, echoing scripture, spending an entire Lord's Day just on that one simple everyday name, Jesus. You don't get that idea if you read the book of Acts and read about the name of Jesus over and over and over again. What's in this name? Everything. We speak this name so often daily. Not a meal goes by without the ending, in Jesus' name. Not a service in church goes by without hearing His name mentioned many times. It makes it hard to preach on this morning and makes it perhaps difficult to listen to. Does it still thrill you when you hear it? Let us try to listen to this most familiar name. And its meaning is those who cannot live without it. For we're not just mentioning a name this morning. We are speaking of a person, of a living person. Whoever lives to save, and that word save involves everything necessary in life and in death. Let us pray that during this service, we will not simply hear about a name, but meet a living person in His Word. Our theme is the name Jesus means the Mediator is the Savior, the only Savior, and the complete Savior. Now we've moved in the deliverance section of the Catechism to the focus on Jesus Christ, the Mediator. He's been identified for us in Lord's Days 5 and 6. But now we're going to spend 9 Lord's Days focusing on the person and work of the Mediator. And we spend 3 Lord's Days on the different names that this Mediator has, the most important ones. The first name is the name Jesus. That's His calling or His personal name. And then the name Christ focuses on His office. The name Son of God tells us His relationship to God. And the name Lord tells us His relationship to us. But why do we choose names to confess who the mediator is? Well, the answer lies in the biblical meaning of a name, especially the biblical meaning of the names of God. A name in the Bible given by God tells us exactly who that person is. We still have a bit of that sense today, don't we? Because when you ask a toddler, who are you? What do they say? They tell us their name. And children, if you have a little brother or sister who's just learning to talk, and you point to them and you say, who's that? They'll tell you their name. And this sense of a name telling us who someone is much stronger in the Bible. We see this already in Genesis 2. We're told what's in a name. Before Adam fell into sin, God asked Adam, look at the animals as they pass you by. And to each one, Adam gave a name according to its nature. He didn't give them a number, but a name. He was able to see at a glance exactly what to call that animal or creature. And that name was more than a label. That name was a summary of who and what that animal is. And after the fall, we lost this. When we believed the lie, our ability to know the truth also suffered. We can now no longer be sure that a name given by us is true. That's why, for example, we can now say about someone that you don't know very well, I know him by name only, meaning I know what to call him, but I don't know him. And that's turning what names are meant to do by God upside down. And that's why the book of Revelation says that those who are taken by him to heaven will receive a new name by God himself, a name that reflects who that person has been and become by the grace of God. But the result of our confusion on earth is that there can be a great contradiction between a person and a name. Think, for example, of the name Absalom, the son of David. Do you know what Absalom means? Ab, father, Shalom, father of peace. For that violent, rebellious man, his beautiful symbolic name is a blatant contradiction to his life. It's a lie. You see, names have become a mirage to us. You've seen what happens on a really hot day in the summer. You're driving down the road and it's so hot that the heat waves are dancing on the road and everything is shimmering and rippling in the distance. Our names are now a mirage. There's a difference between appearance and reality when it comes to names. But when God names something and someone, there is no contradiction between appearance and reality. When God gives something a name, that name tells you exactly what that person or thing is. It's not just a label. It's a declaration of the truth. And so when God is the one who names the mediator, then we can be perfectly sure that those names are a revelation to us of all that of what we can expect from him. The names of God and the mediator are not given by us. It's not so that we evaluate this person and work and say, you know, that would be the perfect name for him. No, God gives us his names. And that tells us exactly who this mediator is. God cannot mislead or be wrong. When he gives us his names, he is introducing us to his person. And this connection between God's names and God's salvation is so strong that the Bible even describes his people who are saved like this, as those who know his name. We'll sing several psalters today that describe the people of God like this, those who know God's name. This means much more than those who know what to call God. It means those who have learned in their own experience, worked by the Spirit of God, that God is for them. Everything described in his names. To know God's name savingly is to come to the discovery God is exactly who he names himself to be in me. And the Catechism makes that same beautiful biblical connection between the name Jesus and the actions of the person who has this name. Question 29, why is the Son of God called Jesus, that is, Savior? And the answer, because he saves us and delivers us. Notice the jump from his name to what he does. When you learn to know the name Jesus, you know him as he really is. You don't have to put question marks behind this name. The person bearing this name given by God is and does everything His name tells you. So what does the name Jesus tell us? God Himself gave Jesus this name before He was born, Matthew 1. An angel comes to Joseph in a dream and says, call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. And that's where the Catechism gets this. It's simply a purely biblical answer. Jesus is the New Testament version of the Old Testament name Joshua. It's the Greek way of saying Joshua. And Joshua means Jehovah's salvation. You remember Joshua and the Old Testament children? He was the one who brought Israel into the promised land to enjoy the salvation that God had brought them out of Egypt for. And it's a picture of salvation. Joshua points to the New Testament Joshua, to Jesus, who brings His people to the new heavens and the new earth to inherit everything that God has promised, who brings people out of the house of bondage and into the liberty of the children of God. What a beautiful, fitting name. Jehovah's salvation. Jesus, who bears this name, is the salvation Jehovah provides. We have here the simplicity of heaven, the simplicity of truth. He saves us from our sins. That's the meaning of the name Jesus. And Peter agrees with this in Acts 4. There is none other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved. But now, if Jesus is the Savior, come down to heaven for us, it must mean we need saving. The name Jesus is an accusation to you every time you hear it, and to me, of how hopeless and helpless we are on our own. Let's pray. Gracious God in heaven, we thank Thee that there is only one name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved, and that the name of the Savior, Jesus, was given by Thee so that we could know that He is everything His name says, that He saves, that He is the answer to every need that we have. There's not a single pang of grief or guilt or fear or struggle or brokenness or death that is too much for this specialist who saves, who's the complete Savior, and who is faithful in all things. Lord, forgive us for those times and moments in which we consciously or unconsciously fall into trusting and expecting our help and strength from ourselves or others around us, rather than in Thee alone. And focus our eyes and thoughts simply on Thy all-sufficient name. We pray that Thy name may be the comfort and the strength of the Seder family. We give thanks, Lord, that they do not have to grieve as those who have no hope, but that through the name of Jesus Christ, who was Stina's refuge and Savior, that they can rejoice even in the face of grief, and that they can stand by the graveside this week, not just with tears, but with joy and with song. For the name Jesus truly is enough for life, for death, for everything that is needed. So, Lord, help each one of us to live as people who must die. Help us to live the life of the righteous so that we too can die the death of the righteous. Do whatever is necessary in us so that we learn to love the sweet name of Jesus as the sweetest name on earth and as the answer to every need and unrest and sorrow and guilt. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.